Up here, we are kicking off a new series that we are calling Unseen. And I chose this picture behind me of an iceberg because of what it represents. You see, if you've never got into the water, and all you ever did was you got into a helicopter and you flew and landed on top of a giant iceberg and you looked around, you'd have no idea what you were actually standing on. You might think that you were just on the earth covered in snow and ice. But icebergs are altogether completely different. They are 100% fresh water broken off of glaciers that are just floating through the sea. And so we have to think of them not as land, but more like an ice cube in your drink. They're floating in that liquid water with only 10% of their mass above the surface of the water. 90% of an iceberg is lurking beneath the dark waters of the sea. 90% is completely hidden and unseen. But just because you can't see this huge mass that's underneath the tip of that iceberg doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. From your perspective, you simply are only limited to seeing the 10%. And here's the important truth. Our lives are a lot like an iceberg. We can only see a very small portion of all the reality that God created. God created a lot more than just our physical world that we can see and touch and smell and taste. You see, in the very beginning of the Bible, we're given this story about how God created this physical world. And throughout the Bible, we see glimpses, however, of another world. We see glimpses that God resides someplace altogether in heaven, in a throne room, and he's surrounded by angels. More than that, however, we also see these stories that Jesus casts out demons. What are they? We see that there's an adversary. There's an opponent to God. Satan, that we call Satan or the devil. We ultimately read about a cosmic clash between the powers of evil and the power of God in this grand narrative that we now live in the middle of. And so much of this occurs in this world that we can't see with our physical eyes. And so people walk around the world thinking that all that exists is the top 10% of the iceberg. And they completely miss that maybe there's a whole lot more going on that they simply can't see. And that's what we're going to be discussing as we go through this series. These are the topics we're going to unpack. But some people might think, as I describe where we're going in the next few weeks, as something that's just fanciful and unbelievable. But Scripture tries to show us that our world is only a portion of what God has created. There is a lot more that meets the eye. And we will understand our world and our trials and our troubles and maybe why things piece together. They make a lot more sense when we come to understand that there is more going on in this world than what we can physically observe. I think this is perfectly illustrated how we can only understand a small sliver of our life when we look at the story of Job in the Bible. And I'll give you, if you're not familiar with Job, here's the Cliff's Notes version, okay? In the very beginning of Job, we have this interesting picture where the adversary, is what he's called, just kind of strolls into the heavens and talks to God. And God's like, hey, have you seen my servant Job? He's completely righteous and upright. And Job says, well, of course he is. You've blessed him with all sorts of material wealth and good things. Why wouldn't he be righteous and obedient to you? And God says, well, fine, go ahead. Harm him, and you will see. And in this story, in the first two chapters, we see that Job loses all of his wealth. All of his livestock is stolen. All of his children are killed in a storm. And then he ends up with his entire body covered in boils and in growths. And his wife looks at him after all these things happen, one after another, and says, why don't you just curse God and die? But here's the most interesting thing about this book is we get to read the story of Job and we get to see the entire iceberg. We get to see what's going on behind the scenes that Job never got to see. He didn't get to read chapter 1 and 2 of his own book. He just picks it up as one who's having all these terrible things happening to him. He doesn't understand that there's a bigger story going on here, and that God is going to use his faithfulness and his righteousness to prove to the adversary that humans can love and trust God. In fact, as the book concludes, and after God speaks to Job, he's never given a clear view like we are given. At the end of his life, he still never knew the why behind all the suffering that he had to go through. And I think that this teaches us so much about our own lives. Job didn't get to see the bigger picture, even through all of his toils and troubles, but he still remained faithful to God. He still believed that God was looking out for him and that God was at work in his life. He remained righteous and he honored God. He kept his confidence in the God that he could not see. And that's exactly what each one of us is called to do. You see, our physical eyes only allow us to see our physical world, but God is spirit. And as such, without spiritual eyes and hearts that are filled with faith, we'll never see God. And so this is at the heart of what it means to have faith. It's a belief in what we read in the Bible about the spiritual world without first being able to see or touch it. Faith is believing in the Creator God. It's believing in the resurrected Son. It's believing in the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of believers. That's what faith is. Simply going off of what the Bible tells us and what other people have shared with us, because we're not able to see and touch God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit before we first take that step and say, you know what, I am going to believe. That's what the writer of Hebrews is telling us before the chapter on faith, Hebrews 11. The first verse in that chapter, that's so famous, begins by saying, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Science can be proven through experimentation, but faith in the unseen world is altogether different. The unseen can't be viewed or measured or touched. It can't be proven through experiments to know that we have 100% certainty that we know God exists and he is exactly like this. He exists outside of that realm. But just because our hope for Jesus for an eternity with God can't be measured, doesn't mean that we can't still have confidence and assurance. That's where faith comes in. Faith fills the void where science simply ceases to be able to bridge that gap. That's why Paul tells us that faith is actually critical for our lives and has more lasting value for our lives. He writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Think about that. What we can see and touch in this world is only real to us for 80, 90, 100 years. And then it ceases to exist. But we put our faith in something that lasts far beyond the time that we have walking this earth. We put our faith in eternity. When we think about it, there are so many questions we have in life that are so important that science simply cannot answer. Science can't explain where we go when we die. Science can't prove what your purpose on this earth is. Science can't answer why bad things happen to good people. Yet all these questions are so important to how we live our lives. All these questions are answered when we start to glimpse this unseen world and the bigger story that's going on outside of our physical world. This is why Paul tells us a little later in that same letter to the Corinthians, just one chapter over in chapter 5, verse 7, "For we live by faith, not by sight." Think about that. In our world, people want to be confident. They think that we can have truth. If I just read this, I read this article on the internet, so it must be true. Now I'm going to base my life on that and tell everybody about it. And God's saying, look, you know, there's something actually that can be so much more foundational for how you live your life. And it can't be measured. And it can't be seen. Yet, it can be every bit more foundational to how you choose to act and believe and behave and treat others and look towards the future and understand your death and your eternity beyond this life. It's by faith, not by sight. So much of our lives depend on understanding things we cannot see. The answer to the questions I just mentioned are so far beyond what we can see, and yet we desire an answer to these things. And so that's where faith comes in, where proofs in the physical world cease to be able to provide answers. This is where a belief in an all-loving God who created the world and sent his Son to redeem us after we sinned, that we're now empowered by the Holy Spirit until the day we meet him in heaven, actually that understanding of the gospel gives us a much better framework for how to live our lives in the here and the now than simply believing that the top 10% of the glacier, what we can see and touch, is all there is. If that's what you believe, that that's all there is to this life, then you have so few answers to the big story of what God is doing. So that's why faith in something beyond our physical world is so important. But you might be wondering, how can you grow your faith? Do you just sit in your bedroom with your eyes closed and focus on God and say, God, I want to believe in you more? Or are there steps that you can take? Is there a way to actually develop a deeper and a stronger faith in who God is and how he's moving in this world? When I think of faith, one thing that comes to my mind is trust falls. Raise your hand if you've ever done a trust fall, probably as a kid, a few of you. It's typically siblings is where I did it. My brother would say, hey, Ryan, turn around and fall backwards and I'll catch you, right? And the first time you kind of lean back a little bit and you're like, ah! And you know, because my brother was stronger, you know, he'd weight a little bit lower, right? Make me fall backwards a little bit farther before he'd catch me. See if I'd take that step back that says, I don't trust you to actually catch me. And then he'd mock me and be like, oh, you don't trust me? And then when you go to summer camp, they take trust falls to a whole new level, okay? At summer camp, they say, all right, all of us are going to get next to the picnic table and we're going to put our arms like this as a team. And we need one brave volunteer to stand on top of the picnic table. And they are going to fall backwards from the edge of the picnic table. And we, as your supportive team, are going to catch you. And in that moment, there's typically a lot of silence. As all the kids are like, I have no reason to believe that you can be trusted. But what I've observed is there's always that one kid. There's always one who's like, I'll go first, right? They have no reason to believe that this is going to work, but they march up the the seat and onto the table, and they stand at the edge of that picnic table, and they cross their arms on their chest, they close their eyes, and every single person is thinking, I hope this works. And they just fall backwards. And you know what? The team always catches them. And what happens then is there's always a second person who's now seen with their own eyes, oh, I have a dot to prove maybe this crew could catch me too. I want to go next. And then the third goes, and the fourth, and the team is able to catch every single person. And as they do it, they're like, why did we even doubt? Of course we can all do this. And so by going together and having this shared experience of seeing that we can be trusted to catch you, it becomes less worrisome. And people are like, of course they're going to catch me when I fall backwards. And our faith in God is based on this same exact pattern. Our faith grows through these little microtransactions with God, these repeated tiny tests and proofs that God can be trusted, that when we have a need, he meets the need. When we feel really sad, somebody calls us and checks in on us. When we, you know, are sick, we're taken care of and we return to health. There's all these little pieces, and every time they happen, when we give God credit, we go, God can be trusted. And our faith grows through our personal experience of God routinely and consistently providing, first in the small things, and then bigger and bigger things. When you become a Christian, typically when you take that step of faith, it's with like, okay, God, I'm just going to, it's like you're the first person on the picnic table. I'm just going to fall back and I hope you catch me. But your faith is still delicate, typically as a new Christian. You don't know how much you can trust God. But if you live a life of trusting God, of putting your hope in him, of having these transactions where every time he provides and he provides and he provides, your faith expands and it grows. Maybe in the beginning you tried to stop sinning. You had a part of your life that you knew kept being a hindrance. And by the power of God inside of you, you were able to cut back on swearing or doing this other harmful behavior. And your life started to get a little bit better. Or maybe you put a little bit of money in the offering plate and you realized that you didn't even miss it because God was providing for all your needs. So you took some bigger steps. You join a small group. You step into a Sunday school class. You build community in the church. And you realize that now, like, you're really starting to grow in your faith as you are vulnerable in connecting with other Christians. And then you hear about maybe tithing, giving 10% in the offering plate. And you're like, I have no idea where that money would come from. But you take that step and you do it. And you watch as God continues to provide. And you start realizing, even though you can't see him, you can't touch him, you realize he's there and he keeps doing these things for you that you can't even explain. Somehow in the unseen, he's taking care of you in this seen world. You see, all of these are steps to believe in something that cannot be seen, touched, or scientifically proven. But through these small steps of watching God provide, you're able to grow in your confidence and your assurance that God is real in the things unseen, that he loves you, and one day that he's going to bring you home forever. That's where our assurance is supposed to lie. And there's another way that we can grow our faith, not only through our own personal experience, but also through shared stories of others who have seen God provide. Testimonies of God's active hand in other people's lives is an incredible way for us to grow our own faith. I remember hearing stories of testimonies of saints as a kid and going, wow, God really did that in your life? That's incredible. That's why a few weeks ago I talked about how I want to start sharing testimonies on Sunday mornings more frequently with you all. And Dr. Larry's the only one who took me up on that offer. And he wrote out 3 full testimonies. And one of them, specifically when we get to our week on angels, you guys are going to get to hear about. And it's incredible. As I was reading it, I was like, yeah, he had this experience. And now my faith is growing as a result of hearing about it. And I want you all to hear about it. I've got another. Oh, so as a result, he took me up on it. He shared his story with me. But did you know I would still like more stories from all of you? In the bottom of the bulletin where it says prayer requests on the tan side, it says prayer requests / God's story. And then there's a couple of blank lines. At any point, if you have something cool happen in your life where you're like, God totally met this need in a surprising way, just jot a little note there and hand it to me or put it in the offering plate and I'll follow up with you. And we'll talk about your story, and we'll figure out a great way for you to share it. If you're uncomfortable coming up and sharing it, we can figure out a way where I share your story for you. But as God's people, we build our faith together when we share testimonies of how he's at work. And that's what I want to do with this next story. I had a little bit of a God moment myself this week. I want to share it with you. So on Monday, a week and a half ago, a 14-year-old kid passed away in an ATV accident. The middle school was pretty torn up about it. So they asked pastors to go and be at the school on Thursday that week. They didn't have school Good Friday and on Monday. On Monday, I was at the middle school, and I met, there were still some kids who were really struggling with it, and I met one 14-year-old boy, met several, but there was one kid who just seemed really upset, really distraught. He was real quiet, and there's something just inside of me that's like, I want to hear more of his story. We were at a table with three of his friends, and they kept yucking it up. And so I just kind of kept asking him questions. And eventually, as he sat at the table and some of his friends had to go back to class, I got to hear about his story, his troubled family life, and the mess and the muck that he lives in. And I formed a little relationship bond with him, and I had no idea when I left where this story was going to go. Fast forward to Thursday. So we as a church are part of the Inner Church Council, which is a bunch of churches in Sheridan that try to meet the needs of people who have less in our community. And one of the things we have is actually an apartment that we rent for like $600 a month to provide for transitional housing for people who are kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. And on Thursday, we interviewed a woman who was looking for housing. She was caught in a bind. And she's telling us her story and sharing about all the troubles that she's had. And we said, hey, we're going to take a couple steps. And I said, I'll follow up with you on Friday. Friday, I give her a call. And I start talking with her about some of her mental health issues. And I said, you know, honestly, what you're describing, I've learned a lot about because of the kids I fostered in foster care. And I shared with her a bunch that I learned from a therapist years back. And later that night, she texted me. And she said, Ryan, I learned more in this conversation with you. It was so helpful to me. And I look at my child, my 14-year-old son, who's going through all these issues you've described, and I wish that he had landed in a foster home like yours when he was in foster care. This is his name. And as I read that text, I was like, wow, God, this is incredible. I sent her a quick text. Is this, you know, does he have this in his life? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, wow, that boy that I just felt like I had a unique connection with on Monday, I'm now talking with mom on Thursday and Friday. And she's saying, I wish that you could have a connection with my son. Now, do I know where this is going? Absolutely not. Like, I'm very much in the middle of the story sharing this with you all. But it shows you, we live in the 10% of the iceberg, and we have no idea what God is doing with the 90%. We simply have to have faith that God's going to use us some way, somehow. In this crazy ATV tragic accident of one child, I build a connection with another child. God works all things together for the good of those who love him. He doesn't make the bad things happen, but he's always at work. He's the 90% beneath, and he's building our faith when we see these things and we attribute them and we say, that's God's hand. That grows our faith. When we tell these stories and we share them and we say, I don't know what God's doing, but I'm clearly seeing him at work. It builds our faith that God is a God who is alive and he is active and he still uses every single one of us today. Like it or not, we now, though, live in a secular world where most everyone believes that science can prove everything. And people want to have certainty. They like being able to see and touch what they know. They like having confidence that they can understand the physical world perfectly. But the secular world is naive to believe that they can see all there is to life. You guys have these stories yourselves in your lives. I know it. You've lived these moments where you go, this is not coincidence. There is something at work behind the scenes. And that is absolutely true. And the sooner you come to grips with that, the sooner this world makes more sense. And the sooner you understand your place in this world. Unfortunately, so many people are naive to think that their ability to measure and explain the physical world precludes the existence of something more, something far bigger and unseen. Personally, however, when I look at the created world around me. We haven't had, the moon's been dark at night. So the stars have been so bright and the weather so gorgeous. And I look up into the night sky and I say, this is not by accident. That builds my faith. When we talk about Easter Sunday last week, and we see a man who left the tomb and who bounced back and forth between this world and the unseen world, we see glimpses that there is more to this world than simply the top of the iceberg that we can see. And finally, it's through our personal experiences and conversations with others and how God has worked in their lives that has grown my faith and has grown your faith. That has given us the confidence that we know the Spirit of God truly does reside in us. And the same Spirit that resides in me resides in you and is at work in this community, that all may come and know Him. I've experienced it. I've essentially taken this trust fall into God's arms and I've been caught. And I know you have too. And after each new experience, our assurance that God is real and His Spirit lives inside of us just continues to grow. Now, does this mean that you will never have doubt? No. There are some mornings where I wake up, don't judge me, and I'm like, why am I even a pastor? Does any of it matter? Like, the doubt is real sometimes, and you just have to sit there and be like, okay, that's an attack, and that's not real because I know better. I have my bearings, I've had my experiences, and I know that this is just a weird thing that's been dropped into my head. I don't know, it's like Job's situation. I don't know where it came from, but I'm not going to dwell on it. Are there questions sometimes that come up in life and you go, you know, I'm reading through the Bible and I simply don't understand. God, why did you do this? And we have doubt, and we don't have clear answers. And in those moments, our faith simply says, I don't know why God did this, but I do know that God is real, that He is loving, that He is good, and that He has all of our best in mind. And as long as that is my foundational ground that I stand on, then even though I may not understand why He did this way, I still believe that when I find out the answer, I'll go, wow, wow, I didn't know, but I trust you. I know enough about you here that even though I don't understand that, I trust you with that too. So that's my hope for every single one of you in this room. My hope is that we would be a family of faith that builds each other's faith up. That we would be a group of people that we tell our God stories to others who aren't going to church right now, who are hungry to know God, but their world just doesn't make any sense. And as they hear our stories, our glimpses of the unseen, they say, I want that for myself. I need something beyond what I can see and measure and touch because that's not working for me right now. I want each one of you to think about this week the ways that God has shown Himself to you through these tiny unseen glimpses, that you would remember when His presence has been real and tangible, that you would remember all the ways that He's provided, and that those moments and those memories would build up your faith again. May we encourage each other with these stories, for we live by faith and not by sight, because faith in the unseen is what is going to lead us to the eternal. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?